We've chosen to state, ooh, goodness. Some of you know, I really like Adventure Church. And on Christmas Eve, church is always an adventure. So we had an adventure with the kids at the children's sermon. It was a little more adventurous than I had bargained for, but it worked out. So let us continue our adventure by starting the sermon with as boring of a thing as I can think of, at least to most of you, which is at our most recent church council meeting. Some of you are probably there. Some of you love church council meetings, but most of you are in the process of falling asleep right now, and that's okay. Anyway, at our most recent church council meeting, we did what we did every time, which is we had a little bit of Bible study, a little Bible study. And we read this Christmas Eve reading from Luke, this story of the birth of Jesus. We read that, and then I just asked people, what word stands out? What's a word that stands out that you wouldn't, you know, that kind of jumped out at you as we did this reading? I'm going to let you guess, but I'm sure you're not going to guess the right thing because it's that kind of adventure we're having tonight. But what do you suppose the one word was that really stood up and made people go, what? In the gospel reading. Any ideas? It was the least expected word, I think, is how they kind of came up with it. Anybody? If the words are in there, you can look. Have an idea? Angel, Savior. The Savior, that's not actually in there. We just repeated that again and again. It's only in there the once. I know, we repeated it and kind of changed it up a little bit. What do you think is the least likely word to show up in the story of the birth of Jesus? Darkness is good, but there was darkness around, so I think we can accept that.
Emperor?
The Emperor, that's pretty close. Yeah.
Syria.
Who said that? Okay, all right, thanks. Indeed, for the council, it was the word Syria. You guys know where Syria is? Did you know where Syria was 4 years ago? Maybe. It's a little more prominent these days, Syria. So, the council, like I said, it was boring. We wanted to talk. The first thing they wanted to talk about was Syria. Because that day of the meeting, there had been this big attack in the city of Aleppo. How many of you had heard of Aleppo 3 weeks ago? Right? Maybe? A little bit? Yeah. You've heard of it a lot. Of course you've heard of it a lot of times, Micah.
Four times,
yes. Four times you've heard of Aleppo. That's right. The reason Syria is talked about in the story of the birth of Jesus is because Jesus grew up in the Roman province of Syria. That's where Quirinius was the governor. That's where Jesus is from. Jesus, in those days, would have been called a Syrian, which has some interesting echoes here today. And because the situation in Syria has been going on for so long, I'll just quote myself from last year's Christmas Eve sermon. When the readings are the same every year, so I'm like, well, I'm not going to rewrite this part. So here's what I said about it last year. Syria, synonymous right now in our culture with war and terrorism and refugees. Syria may be the least peaceful place on earth tonight, right now. It's probably day there now. Our politicians argue not about whether we should be at war there, but how much and against how many of the various sides fighting for control of the area. That's what I said last year. How much of that has changed to this year?
None.
There's been, I'm sure there's been some progress here and there on the ground, but the big picture is there's still a bunch of armies fighting each other, and it's not clear that there are any good guys. My 4-year-old, who's heard of Aleppo 4 times, he tells us tonight, he likes to talk about good guys and bad guys. I don't know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, except the innocent children dying in Aleppo. I'm pretty sure they're the good guys. That's the place. That actually place is a couple hundred miles from where Jesus is from, but that's the place where Jesus is from. I read a tweet some days ago from a good friend of mine, David Scherer. He's a Christian rapper that goes by the name of Agape. I went to college with him. He's a fantastic guy. And he said in his tweet, he said, if only a story about a homeless refugee born to an unwed teenage mom in an occupied land had anything to teach us today. He was talking, of course, about Jesus. Homeless, born in a stable, a refugee. They were gone from Nazareth, where he was from, and instead of, when they left Bethlehem, they didn't go back to Nazareth, they went to Egypt to avoid the local king who was trying to find and kill Jesus. Born to an unwed teenage mom, we know that part. Mary was a young woman who was not married yet. That's right there in the story. In an occupied land, occupied by Rome, the Empire of Rome, that's the story that we're telling tonight. That's whose story we're telling tonight. They've used the hashtag on that tweet, incarnation. You guys know what incarnation is? Incarnation? Anybody know that word? What does that word mean? Anybody? Made into flesh. Thank you. She appears. Just to give us the answer. It's great to have an organist that's on the ball. Thank you. Professionalism right there. Incarnation means in the flesh. It means God became human. God became a human being. God had a body. God, some people come here and they hear like little kids squawking and squealing and squirming, and they think the pastor might mind that. But that's exactly what I like, because that's what's real. That's what it was like when Jesus, do you think Jesus was born and he's like, oh, I'm Jesus, look at me. I mean, we've all seen happy babies, but I mean, you still, the actual process of giving, has anybody seen giving birth happen? Anybody experienced that? I mean, I was like in the room one time. I don't have like the closest knowledge of that by any means, but it's literally a visceral experience, right? Like this is the most like embodied and fleshed incarnation-y thing that could be. God became human, like, in Jesus. And the thing is, God could have become human anywhere. God could have become human in, like, the richest, poshest palace. God could have become human, like, in a skyscraper on, like, the penthouse floor. God could have become human in any kind of place.
God could become a human
in a castle. In a castle, yes, exactly. Why did God not choose a castle? A castle would have made sense. But God chose a barn in, like, the outskirts of town to all the wrong people. And, like, they told shepherds about it. Nobody likes shepherds. If anybody likes shepherds, they would live in town. Just a short version of a shepherd. How do you think it smells to be a shepherd all the time? It doesn't smell good. It ain't a way to make friends. Those are the people that God showed up among. God could have at least come to, like, the Romans, like, a Roman peasant who, like, are the ruling people. No, he came to the people, the Jewish people, the nobody people who are under Rome's thumb. That's where God showed up. God chose that time and that place, that innocent, fragile body of Jesus, to become human. That's what incarnation is. Yes, dear. I'm so used to answering my kids' questions that why wouldn't I in the middle of the sermon? What's going on, buddy? What if Jesus was born in a castle? Well, that would tell us something different about what God's priorities were. That's what if Jesus was born in a castle. That would tell us that God, you know, thought that Jesus should be safe and should be among the rich people and safe people in a castle. But that's not what God told us. God told us that Jesus should be among the least of these, as Jesus termed the people later in his life. Now, this incarnation, this God becoming flesh, this God showing up in this most unlikely place, this, for me, is why I trust God. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't trust the image of God. There's a hymn that says, in some heaven light years away. I don't trust God sitting on a throne in heaven, like getting all the TV channels. That doesn't do much. That God doesn't do much for me. The God that I can believe in, the God that I can trust, is the God who lived in this world, who experienced the junk that people experience, who was tired and hungry and had to go to the bathroom but had to wait. That's the God I believe in, the God that became flesh in Jesus Christ. That's the God I can trust. Because in Jesus, I know that God has been through it. Whatever it is for you, whatever you've been going through, whatever you've been dealing with, God has been there in Jesus. God knows. And because God has been there, God does not leave us alone when we find ourselves there. The incarnation, God with us in Jesus Christ, shows us that God is with us in Aleppo, or God is not with us at all. Which would be sad. Yes, thank you. And to be fair, there's lots of people who think, okay, if Aleppo happens, that means that God must not be with us at all. And I can't say that's an unreasonable thing to think, honestly. But that's not what I think. That's not why we're here tonight. We're here tonight because we choose instead to live in hope. We hope that God really is with us. We believe the story of Jesus, born in a stable, among nobody, to rise up to change the whole world through love. That's the God we believe in. That's the God of the incarnation. We choose to believe that this baby Jesus, who we found in the children's sermon, it's in the manger, he's out there now. We choose to believe that this baby means that God's love is for us and for every person. And that this love is stronger than any sin or any pain or anything we've done or anything that has happened to us. God's love is stronger even than death, which is a little more Easter than Christmas, but it all kind of comes together. So if God is with us in Bethlehem, if God is with us in Aleppo, then you better believe God is with us here in Kalamazoo. That's where we live. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's what Christmas is really about. It's about God being with us, about God breaking into our world and finding exactly the place where God is needed most and being there with us to show us that we are not alone. I love this room on Christmas Eve. I love the dark wood and kind of the lighting and it's got a nice, like, cozy, warm sort of Christmas Eve-y vibe. You know, like I expect a fireplace in the corner. There's not. I picture one in my mind because that's the kind of the vibe that I get off of this room on Christmas Eve. And that's a wonderful way to do Christmas, the sort of warm, cozy with family and friends way. And God is with us in that cozy family Christmas. But I'm here to tell you, God is also with those of us who feel alone, whether we're feeling alone in this room or whether we are alone, the people who aren't in this room, the people who are alone back at home. God is with all of those people. God is with the people who are not sure whether God is at all, or certainly where God is. God entered the mess of this world in Jesus to live among us and show us how to live. When Jesus grew up, he fed the hungry, he healed the sick, he welcomed the stranger, he ate with the untouchable. Jesus lived a life of radical compassion for the people who needed it most. And when we need Jesus most, when you need Jesus most, Jesus will be there with you. Even if you're in a barn, even if you're in Syria, wherever you are, Jesus will be with you. That's what God's love is for us in Jesus. And if we follow Jesus, and we see people who need Jesus most, then we will be with them. We will be the presence of God's incarnate love in our bodies, in our own presence. Merry Christmas. Amen.